Good morning, everybody. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Kuf Yud, where I'm Kuf Testament based. Thanks, Stu, for the coverage while I was away. We are on the top. I'm sorry. We're towards the bottom of Kuf Testament based. We're at the two dots. We're going to start from Rabbi Gamliel Omer Imiano. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. The 13th parak that we started just a short couple days ago deals with marriage to a ketana. If the father is alive, so a father can marry off his daughter, the Torah empowers a father to marry off his daughter. That works on a d'oraisa level. The Torah empowers the father to create kedushin for his daughter. He provides the das that's necessary in order to create kedushin. But if the father is no longer alive, so min haTorah, there's no way that the daughter can get married before she herself becomes a bas das. But nevertheless, though, Chachamim wanted to protect the girl, so the Chachamim allowed a marriage to occur. So the Chachamim are the ones who are, quote-unquote, providing the das, if you will. That's not exactly the mechanics in terms of how it works, but the Chachamim allow for such a marriage. This is a marriage that operates on a Dirabana level. To what degree are they married? So in the beginning of the Perek, so that's been a lot of the discussion. Kuf Zayin, Kuf Ches, a little bit of yesterday's daf, Kuf Tes, dealt with the question of to what degree is that marriage actually a marriage. You remember there was a basic machlokus between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi that we saw back in Kuf Ches. Excuse me, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Let me allow me to correct myself. Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. To what degree this marriage actually is a marriage? According to Rashita's Rabbi Elazar, which is not the halacha, but according to Shita's Rabbi Elazar, so it's not a marriage at all. There's no mitzia, there's no ma'aseh yadin, there's no hafaras nedarim, there's no yerusha, there's no tuma. Okay, el klal shel davar eino ke'ish lechol davar. It's not marriage. It's just that before she becomes a bas mitzvah, she has to do miyun. But it's not a marriage. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yoshua has a much more structured look at what this is. It's not a marriage, but it's something. So Rabbi Yoshua Omer Bala Zakam Mitzielsa Masi Adel Vafars Nedarav Yorsha Metamila. In other words, the general obligations and responsibility between husband and wife. It does have more of the look and feel of a marriage. Basically, for all intents and purposes, aside from the fact that it's not a marriage, but not Torah, but for all intents and purposes, it's a marriage. According to Rabbi Yoshua. Again, according to Rabbi Yoshua, by the way, the termination is going to be the same. The way that she's going to exit this marriage, if she wants to, is through miyun. But nevertheless, so at least during the time that they're married, it looks much more like a marriage. That is, that's what the Perek has been dealing with since the beginning of the Perek. What we saw yesterday on Daf Kuf Tes was a discussion in the Gemara now of Miyun and Kedusha Ketana in the context of Yibum. In other words, good. What's this Perek doing in Masechet Yevamos? So the answer is because we're going to deal with a number of scenarios in which we're going to see what happens when you have a Kedusha Ketana and the husband dies, and now what happens in terms of the mitzvah of Yibum. The mission dealt with a scenario where you have two brothers, one married to Gadol and the other married to a Ketana. Fine. The one married to a Gadol obviously operates on a Doraisa level. The one married to a Ketana obviously operates on a Durabun level. And what happens if one of the brothers die? And specifically, the Mishnah dealt with a scenario of what happens if the Ach, who is married to the Gadola, what if he dies? So then what becomes the halacha if that man dies? So now let's think about it. What's going to happen now is that his wife, the Shomeres Yavam, now the widow, the Shomeres Yavam, becomes a candidate for the mitzvah of Yibum to her brother-in-law, and her brother-in-law is married to the sister, but the marriage to the sister is only operating on a Durabana level. So over here you have competing marriages. Right, you have two sisters, one being married to a man only on a Darabban level, one having a Zika to the man on a Daraisa level, same man, I should say. On a Daraisa level, so what do you do? It's a complex scenario. The Mishnah brought in three opinions in terms of what you should do. What we're going to be looking at right now is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, which is the Gemara now is going to focus on. Rabban Gamliel Omer Imeana. Rabban Gamliel says, look, if the girl wants to do Miyun, it's her prerogative. She could do Miyun. But if not, wait till she gets older. And when she gets older, that will turn the marriage from a marriage de Rabban into a marriage de Araisa. And subsequent to that, then her sister is going to be relieved from the Zika because she is her sister is married to this man. She's an erva. So far, so good. That's all just a quick recap of everything we saw for the past couple of days. My time to Rabbi Gamliel. So what is behind the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel says, let's wait till she grows up. And then what's going to happen? So, one possibility is that it's a latent marriage. It's a latent marriage. It's not a marriage right now, but it's soon going to be a marriage. Meaning he marries her not with the understanding that this is the marriage, but this with the understanding that it will become a marriage. And then what happens later on is that when they quote unquote grow up together, he's already an adult. But when she grows up together with him, Avagav de la Baal, even if he didn't do an act of bia with her, nevertheless the marriage transforms from a marriage which is a Dorban into a marriage which is a Dorais. So that's one possibility. This possibility of the Gemara is very difficult to understand just conceptually, because generally speaking, how do you create a marriage? You create a marriage through an action point, either Kesef, Shtar, or Bia. So it's very easy to understand that when she grows up and she has Bia with the man, she becomes a marriage on a Daraisa level. But what the Gemara now is entertaining is this idea that when he marries her at the time when she's a Katana, it doesn't work, but later on it will, even if there's no action point. So conceptually, it's a more challenging position to understand within the Gemara. Or the Gemara goes to the other possibility, which is Odima Mishum Dekasavra Mekadesh Achus Kivama Niftari Vama Vahachala Ibal In Ilo Baal Lo. Or the other option of the Gemara is no, you need Bia. In other words, the way that he's going to fortify that marriage with his wife, who when he married her only married her as a katana and only operated on a Durabun level, is that when she grows up and he has Bia with her, then and only then does she become, now that marriage becomes, operates on a Duraisa level, excusing her sister from the mitzvah of Yibum. So Amalei Hanatam and Durabin Gamal, Mishim Dekasavar, Mekadesh Achos Yavama, Niftara Yavama, Vahachala, Ibal In, Ilo Baalo. And the Gemara's answer to this question is, this is Rav's response to Rabbi Elazar. Rav says, you need Bia. Bia is what's going to convert this marriage from a Kiddushei Derabanan to a Kiddushei Da'araisa. And as a result of that, the marriage will be now a Daraisa marriage, excusing the sister from the mitzvah of Yibam, because obviously now the sister is the Yavama is an erva to this man. Her sister's being married to this man. Amrav Sheshes Aminakinayim Veshachav Rav Amar Lahashmaitosh. Rav Sheshes makes a comment that he makes so often in Shas regarding a statement by Rav, and that is Rav may have been taking a nap when he said that statement, meaning it's hard to imagine that Rav actually said this. That's the Tanya. Because let's take a look at the Braisa. Makash is a Katana, Kedushin Tulu. That if a man is mekadesh a katana, the kedushin are suspended, like literally hanging. So my teluyim lavki gadla gadla bahada. So you know what that means? It means suspended, meaning right now it's a latent marriage, and then later on when she becomes an adult, it will become real. The marriage will be realized. And the way that Rav Sheshes is looking at that mishnah is, and what's going to convert it? What's going to transform it into a marriage minatara? Nothing. The mere fact that she's going to grow up. So the alpha gavdol abal. So amalei rav and bered rav nachman ha milstik tiktana mitla tali v'kaimi ibali nilo baalo. So the Gemara says to Rav Sheshes, you know, you could just look at that mission. You could just simply say, yes, it's a latent marriage. And do you know what's going to realize that marriage and turn that marriage from a kedusha derabanan to kedusha deraisa? The answer is very simple. Bia. That's all the Mishnah means. The Mishnah says kedushin tuluyin. It's suspended. It's suspended and waiting for an action point. And when that action point comes, i.e. Bia, so then the marriage is going to be turning into a marriage d'araisa. Damra hua dif minai v'ana dif na mina. And look at the tenuous nature of the relationship. Meaning, what does the Mishnah mean when it says teluyim? It means that the marriage is so tenuous. V'savarav. Sorry. Before I move on. So, damra hua dif minai v'ana adif na mina. I'm better than she is, and she's better than I am. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains. The Amra Iwa Difminaish, from her perspective, she realizes how tenuous this marriage is. Rashi writes, because if he wants right now at this stage of the marriage, he can give me a get if he wanted to. He, on the other hand, also realizes how tenuous this relationship is. Look at the next Rashi. So, and she can always say, look, I can leave this marriage through me, and that will annul the marriage. And so the Gemara in explanation of Rav says that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says Tuluyin Va'omdim. It's suspended. Suspended in the sense that it's a very tenuous relationship. Excuse me. Okay. So what do we have right now in the Gemara? We have an understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah, which is that in the current state where she's a ketana, the marriage is only operating on the Rabbanan level. So as it is right now, when the brother dies, leaving his sister-in-law for the mitzvah of Yibam, sister-in-law for two reasons. Number one, she's his brother's wife, sister-in-law, because it's also his wife's sister. And now she has a Zika d'Araisa. So what do you do according to Rabbi Gamliel? Wait until the marriage between he and his wife turn into a marriage d'oraisa, and then that'll excuse the sister-in-law from the mitzvah of Yibam. It'll totally dissolve the Zika. And what actually transforms the marriage from a kedusha d'rabban to a kedusha d'oraisa? Answer is that the Gemara proposes two suggestions, but the Gemara resolves that you need bia. And this is the opinion of Rav, and this is what Rav declares is going to turn that marriage into a marriage min haTorah.
So basically, the husband is having, if he has any relationship, then he's living with Ara.
Right. So then he's Ara, right. So then he's having relations with Acha Zekukaso.
Right.
And what kind of avera is that? Meaning, I guess you're right. The basic question is, would he be allowed to have any type of relations with this woman now that's Acha Zekukaso? Right. It's an excellent question. I don't know. The Gemara does not say anything about that. The point is very good. I don't know.
That's not what you're asking.
All right. Correct. But what would Rabbi Gamliel respond to that? I don't know. It's a very good point. Okay. Umi Savar. Sorry. V'savar Rav Yibal Hini Lo Ba'al Lo V'ha Yidmar Ketana Shalom Yana V'yigdila V'amda V'niseis. So Rav Amar Yini Tzricha Gen Misheni U'shmol Amar Tzricha Gen Misheni. So the Gemara says, well, please consider the following. So the Gemara says, well, we have a machlokas, the Gemara's in Ksuvos, the Gemara over here quotes it in Yavamos, a Ketana that does not do Mion, and she grows up, and V'amda V'niseis, and then she accepts Kedusha from another man. So what do we do with that? A Kedusha is she accepts from another man. Rav says, nothing. She has any get from this other man because the marriage that she accepts from another man is not a marriage. She's already a married woman. And because she grew up, how does the marriage that she's currently in right now is a marriage min haTorah. So therefore, she doesn't need a get from the second man. And Shmuel says, no, she needs a get from the second man. So the Gemara says, my lav de lo ba'al, lo de ba'al. So the Gemara, again, projects and suspects that the marriage just kind of flips on by itself, and the Gemara says no such thing. So the Gemara says no, it need to be a. That's how the marriage is going to be upgraded from a marriage d'rabbanan to a marriage d'oraisa. My time to Shmuel Kasever Kol HaBoal Adas Kedushin Rishonim Ho Boal. So sorry, I left out two words. Let me go back. Let me read. Ida Baal My Time to Shmuel. So the Gemara says okay. So she had a bia after she becomes an adult with her husband. So now we understand the opinion of Rav. That bia transforms the marriage from a derabbanan to a deraisa, right? Upgrades the marriage. But according to Shmuel, if she had a bia, so then what happens? Meaning, how come the marriage is not getting upgraded? So the Gemara says, because of inertia, right? Inertia, a powerful force in physics, a powerful force in halacha as well. So my time, Shmuel kasever kol abol, al das kedushin rishon mubol. Because Shmuel says, look, how the marriage started was on a derabbanan level. And even though she grows up, but Shmuel's understanding is that when he has bia with her, even though she's an adult, he doesn't view this bia as any different than it was previously. Meaning, he doesn't put any extra kavana into the bia, and he doesn't say, this bia is going to make her now my fully fledged married wife. And so therefore, the marriage, even though he has bia with her after she becomes an adult, the marriage still maintains a Kedusha Ketan, not a Kedusha Daraisa. Okay, good. So what do we have right now? Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding how a marriage gets upgraded from a Darabana to a Daraisa. So Rav says, how does it get upgraded? So in Bia. In other words, she's going to grow up and they're going to have Bia after she's grown up. Then and only then does the marriage get upgraded from a Darabana to a Daraisa. Masha Enkin, according to Shmuel, no. Even if they had Bia, the marriage does not get upgraded from a Darabana to a Daraisa. I guess according to Shmuel, the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but I get, well, let's say it. According to Shmuel, there's a possibility for the marriage to get upgraded. You just need a special kavana in order to do so. But the default position is going to be that it doesn't get upgraded on its own. Okay. The Hapligi Bacharazim. Now, Deidmar, the Gemara now notes that now that we've ironed out the Shitos of Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara points out seems like they had this debate before. We have a machlokas kisha al tanai v'kansa stam. What if a man's mekadesh woman with conditions with a tanai, and then when he's konis, and then he actually marries her, but he doesn't say anything. In other words, he doesn't reinforce the conditions that he made. He doesn't negate the conditions that he made. He says nothing when he actually goes through the second stage of marriage. So Rav Amar Tzricha Meneget, Shmuel Amar Ainet Tzricha Meneget. So Rav says that okay, they're married, even though the kedushin was done al tanai, but once he's koneser, so what the, and by kones we mean bia, so what the bia does is that basically it upgrades the marriage to a full marriage. And Shmuel says no, you don't need to get. Rav Amar Tzricha Meneget Kevin Danas V'Achulei Achla L'Tanai, because Rav is of the opinion that you know what the Bia does? Bia actually is Mochel Tanai. It forgives all the conditions that were made. Meaning, yes, the Kedushin was done Al Tanai. In other words, it was a tenuous condition. But once you have Bia, Bia upgrades. Very similar to what Rav says regarding the Katana. And Shmuel says, no, it doesn't negate the conditions, because again, Shmuel subscribes to this understanding of inertia. Is that when he has Bia with her, the Bia is not adding or taking away from the original Kedushin. The original Kedushin was done out tonight. Still, the marriage is a tenuous marriage, and it's still conditionally based. And what bothers the Gemara now is that what we have is a repetition of this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, once by Kedusha Katana and once again by marrying a woman with Tanayim. But even though there are two different cases, but principally it's the same basic principle between the two. According to Rav, Bia upgrades, and according to Shmuel, no, inertia. The Bia is done, Aldas Bia Rishona. So the Gemara, that doesn't work in this second case. The bia is done, but with nothing added. No element of addition is added to with this bia. The Gemara says the cases are not exactly the same, and I wouldn't have deduced one case from the other case. Tzricha, the Gemara says it's necessary. So the Gemara says, look, in the second case where a man's mekadesh a woman with conditions, where there are conditions, v'kevin debal achle l'tanai, and you know what bia is doing? Bia is removing the Tanaim, meaning the Tanaim are an impediment. They're obviously there to create some sort of conditional clause in the marriage. But when you have Bia, basically what that Bia is saying is, I know there were conditions set forth, but obviously I'm being Mochel, and there could be no clear indication of Mechila by him consummating the marriage. But when it comes to Kedusha Katana, so let's think about this. He married her while she was a katana. That's a marriage midrabbanan. There's nothing quote unquote wrong in the marriage. There's nothing tenuous about the marriage other than the fact that she's too young to get married, and there's no das, and there's no father providing her the das. But the marriage in of itself, it's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. There are no conditions set forth. It's just a marriage. That's a very weak marriage because she's a katana. So I might have thought that even though I know Rav's opinion regarding the mechilas tanai, the forgiving the conditions, but over here you're not forgiving any conditions. All you're doing is just perpetuating a marriage. I might have thought that Rav would agree to Shmuel that if all we're doing is just perpetuating a marriage, so then Bia does exactly the same thing. It just perpetuates the marriage. It doesn't add a layer on top of this to upgrade it from a kedushin derabbanan to a daraisa. And then the Gemara just goes in the other way around. Meaning, if I had Shmuel's position regarding kedusha katanan, I might have thought that Shmuel would agree to Rav that in the case of Tanaim, when there are conditions, so maybe Shmuel would agree to Rav that if he consummates a marriage with her, that's mechilas atanaim. That is a forgiveness of all the conditions set forth. Okay. The Gemara says, now according to Rav, what creates marriage? Bia. Bia creates a marriage. The Gemara says, well, let's consider, again, when I say create marriage, I mean it upgrades the marriage from a Kedusha Darabanan to a Kedusha Daraisa. The Gemara says, please consider the following. There was an incident in the town of Narash, where a woman received Kedusha while she was a Katana. Again, there was no father. So the marriage was a Kedusha Darabanan, and she grows up. And beautifully, they made a Chasna. Meaning she had a Chasna when she was a minor, but she was too young to appreciate it. So what do they do? Okay, round two. Her her second nuptial. She got married now a second time. Beautiful. And they put her up a course, they put her on top of a chair. Right, some sort of whatever, right, like you know, they hoist the wife up on the chair at the chasna. Okay, so in other words, they made a whole another simcha for her. Yeah, and then the Gemara just adds a little bit of drama. Along comes the second man, goes over to her and convinces her. You know, this guy's really not right for you. And when you married her, you were so young and you didn't know what you were doing. And your mother and your brother did it for you to protect you. But you know what? I'm really the guy for you. And he goes over and he talks to her and he convinces her, hey, you know what? I am the right guy for you. And he gives her Kesef Kedushin and she accepts Kesef Kedushin. And this is after she was put on top of the chair. And you have two students of Rav, they were there. And they said, you know what? Ignore what happens with that other guy, that second guy. Because that second guy halachically didn't do anything. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of an emotional fallout from all this. But from a halachic standpoint, it's nothing. She's a married woman. And not only is she a married woman, but she's married on a daraisa level. So you can ignore the kesef kedushin that she received from another man. Now, what... Huh? And what the Gemara is assuming right now is that there was no bia because it's the second marriage, and right now the Gemara is thinking is that the consummation of the marriage will take place after the wedding. Again, the second wedding, if you will. And right now, that's what the Gemara is thinking. And then what it sounds like is that even though there's no bia, the marriage got upgraded. So Amra Papa Benarish Mintsav Nesiva Vahadames Veabe Korsai. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're just going to clear up one point of what was a little bit of confusion. And that was, you thought that she's going to have the bia after the party. She's going to have the bia prior to the party. And again, in this particular scenario we're talking about, where she already was once married, Kedusha Ketana, and now she's going to be upgrading Kedusha Gedola, and she's going to have some sort of celebration, some sort of simcha, the bia takes place before. That's the halachic mechanism that got it upgraded from a Darabanan to a Daraisa. And that's why, even though at this wedding she accepted Kedushin from somebody else, again, it's drama, but from a halachic standpoint, could be totally ignored. Ravashi Amar, who asked the Shloka Hagen Lafichach, Asu Bo Shloka Hagen. Ravashi says, maybe not. Ravashi says, look, we could do this again. We could go back to the story of Narash, and we could once again suggest that maybe the bia takes place afterwards. And why are the Chachamim not acknowledging the Kesef Kedushin she accepted from a second man? Because he behaved so improperly. And because he behaved so improperly, so what the Chachamim basically said to him is, You behaved in such an, right? Imagine going to a wedding and trying to take the kala away from her husband at the wedding, right? That's extremely inappropriate. So therefore, what the Chachamim say to him is, we're just going to, even though her marriage to this man is not on a daraisa level yet, but what we're going to do is we're basically going to ignore your kedushin. How can they? How? No, wait just one second. How can he do that? Rav Ashi Amar, who also shloka hagen laficha chasuba shloka hagen va'afkin rabban lekedusha meinei. And so what the Chachamim basically did is they took the rug and they removed it right under his feet, and they basically removed the kedushin from him. Amale Ravin la Rav Ashi. The Gemara now gets into very familiar territory, which is, how does this work? How can the Chachamim do that? Tenech dekadosh bekas bekadosh bebia maikel amema. I understand that if he was mekadosh with money, so I understand how the Chachamim have that kind of authority. Rashi over here writes hefker based in hefker, because we know that when it comes to money, Chachamim have the ability. Bezin has the ability to take money away from you at any point in time they feel necessary. And not only that, but even to give it to somebody else. So, Rashi writes it. Take a look at Rashi. Absolutely correct. the money's a gift. Fine. And so the marriage is not going to be a marriage. So the Gemara says, good. But bebia my shavi rabban lebia las. I'm sorry, my. But when it comes to being mikash bebia, what can the Chachamim do there to remove the kedushin away from him? So the Gemara says, Shavina Rabban Labila Spilasnus. So the Gemara says that what they can do is they can actually reassign that bia. That bia was not bia for kedushin. That bia was just simply bia's nus. The Chachamim have that kind of power as well. How can they do that? So Rashi over here writes, Rashi very, very concise, but Rashi writes, the Vehubidatam Tala, because every time a man is mekadesh a woman, he does so with the implicit, the tacit approval of the chachamim. And if the chachamim don't agree to it, so then they have that right to even reassign and redefine what that beer was. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmua. Okay, fine. Period. That's Rav Ashi's suggestion. And so Rav Ashi says that this story of Narash, it can be that the wedding was before the bia, and it still could be that we're going to ignore the kedushin of the second man because he acted so inappropriately, and so therefore the chachamim afkina rabbanu kedushin minei. The chachamim just simply remove the kedushin away from him. Okay. Finishing up on this part of the Gemara, so Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Alachik Rabbi Eliezer V'chein Amar Rabbi Lazar Alachik Rabbi Eliezer. Of the three opinions that were presented in the Mishnah in terms of what should be the proper procedure, if you have two brothers married to two sisters, one sister is a gedola and the other sister is a katana, and the husband of the gedola dies, what should you do? So the Gemara says the halacha falls like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar back in the Mishnah says Melamdim as a katana shetamayim bo. So we tell the wife, the quote-unquote wife of the surviving brother, so we're going to tell her to do mian. That will excuse her from the marriage, and that allows the sister then to do the mitzvah of yibum, which would be a mitzvah da'oraisa.
What if she
refuses? Yeah, unclear. The word malamdim, you know, you can understand it to mean like we recommend this, or you can understand this to mean that. This is what we're going to do. To what degree of influence is going to be put on her to do that? So in other words, it's not malamdim doesn't necessarily mean education. It's not like the chachamim are saying, hey, let me suggest what you should do or teach you what you should do. Malamdim just simply may mean like this is what you're going to do. I'm not totally clear about that. But
make sure that understood.
No, but the mian, right, but no, but the mian, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting point within mian altogether, meaning mian annuls the marriage. Mian excuses her from the marriage, and mian is given her. She has the right to do mian, even though she doesn't have full das. Now, when exactly
can... She can go to the grocery.
Correct. So why the chachamim allow her that kind of ability and power to do mian when she's not yet a gedola? That's a bigger question. That's a good point. Right, we saw earlier in the parak that mian can be done maybe only when she's 11 years of age and she has like some sort of base knowledge of what it means, what she's doing, but when understand what she's doing. But yes, it's an interesting point altogether. Mian is done when she doesn't have quote unquote full das. That's a larger point. Is what?
In the Mishnah, there was a third opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua.
Yeah. Well, the Gemara, again, the Gemara right now is just A, just clarifying how Rabbi Gamaliel works, meaning that that point needed clarification, and then B, what the halacha file is like. I mean, I guess it doesn't need any clarification, his position. I don't know.
Another. It says, Zika.
Right, correct. So, okay.
Couldn't the Chachamim say, okay, your original Kedushin is no good?
No, in other words, the Chachamim, once the Chachamim give a framework for what this marriage is, so then the Chachamim have to operate within that framework. So they gave a framework of Kedusha Katana and Mian, so then they operate within that framework. They can't, they're no longer going to redefine what this marriage is. The marriage is whatever Kedusha Katana is. And then with that, so then we're going to operate now within those rules. We start now with the next Mishnah, Mishayo Nasu L'Shtei Yichsomos. A man is married to two orphans, Ketanos, and they're minors. So in other words, so they were married off not by the father. The father's no longer alive. And so the marriage is operating on a Derabban level. Umeis, and one of the men die. So Biaso Chalitza Sosha Achas Poteret Sarasa. So Bia or Chalitza with one of the wives is going to pater the other. Okay, so in other words, they're co-wives. These ketanos are co-wives. Interesting family dynamic. But still, the point the Mishnah is making is that they are considered co-wives. Now, keep in mind, again, every time we get into these Mishnahs, you just got to think about what kind of marriage it is. Both of them are married to their husband on a Derabbanan level, which means that both of their Zikas are on a Derabbanan level. But still, in other words, when all said and done, on a Derabbanan level, they're co-wives.
Is it one husband only?
Huh?
Is it one husband only in the Mishnah?
That's right. They're co-wives, right. Correct. They're co-wives, but correct. And then he dies, and then one of the and then the surviving brothers only needs to do yibam or chalitza with one of the two. So biyasa chalitza so shachas men poter sarasa bechein shtei charashos ketana. And the same thing would be true with Cheresh as well. A man's married to a Chereshes. So like we've said time and again, the marriage between a man and a Chereshes, or a Cheresh and a woman, also only operates on a Darabana level. Cheresh is assumed throughout Shas not to have Das. And as a result of that, the marriage does not operate on Daraisa level. So what do you do? So the Tzaras v'chein shei charashos, ketana v'chereshes, or let's say that he has two wives, one of them being a ketana and the other one being a chereshes. So for two different reasons, the marriage between both him and his wives are on a derabban level. Ein bia achas mehem poteret tzaraso, the bia with one is not going to exempt the other. Pikachas v'chereshes, if I have a Pikachas and a chereshes, biyah pikachas, poteres a chereshes, v'en biyah a chereshes, poteres a pikachas. So if I have one with das and one without das, so in such a scenario, so the one with das will not only be the quote unquote bona fide marriage, the marriage mendoraisa, but what also will happen is that it will exempt the quote unquote co-wife from the mitzvah of yibam and chalitza, and the opposite obviously is not true. Gedola v'ketana, biyasa gedola, poterasa ketana, v'en biyasa ketana, poterasa gedola. And finally the Mishnah ends off with basically the same concept, just a different example, and that is if he's married to two women, one being a gedola and the other one being a ketana, obviously the gedola is a doraisa and the ketana is a darabanan, and so if he dies, the surviving brother will do either yibam or chalitza with the gedola and then exempting the ketana, but obviously the opposite would not be true. If he did bia or chalitza with the ketana, it won't exempt the gedola. The chereshes bas chalitza hivatnan. The Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Do you remember when we did the previous parak, the 12th parak of the Masechta? So what did we learn together? That in order to be able to do chalitza, you have to verbalize, you have to talk. There are speaking parts. Excuse me. There are speaking parts to the chalitza. This is what we saw in the previous parak. And their speaking parts are necessary. Now, you remember, just to quickly refresh everyone's memory, we learned in the previous parak that you don't have to actually say those parts. Those are not necessary, but you have to have the ability to say those parts. That was the rule of Rabbi Zera, which the Gemara repeats time and again. And so what the Gemara told us is that you have to have the ability to speak. And if you don't have the ability to speak, you simply cannot do chalitza. That's what we learned in the previous parak. So what we learned, good, and that's what we saw in the previous parak. And what bothers the Gemara right now is our Mishnah is talking about a man married to a chereshes. She can't speak. So how can we have a conversation of chalitza?
Can she write?
The assumption of the Gemara is that no, she doesn't have das. Right? We discussed in the previous parak, the Gemara discussed what if she's just an Elaine? What if she can't speak, but she can communicate in other ways as well? But the Gemara says that for Chalitza, you need the ability to speak. That's, for other areas of Halacha, you may be right, but for Chalitza, you have to have the ability to speak.
Is it because they're saying that it's make it for her through the declaration? Because, I mean, if she does a shoe and spits, isn't that enough?
Correct, but she has to. The Gemara said, right, the Gemara asked exactly your question. The Gemara in the previous parak said she has to have the ability to speak. She doesn't actually have to speak, but the ability is ma'akev. So the Gemara says, "V'cheresh ba'chalitzi v'atanan, cheresh ha'nechlas v'cheresh ha'shechalta v'choletzis menakatan chalitzas ha'psula." Go back to what we saw in the previous parak, that a cheresh or chereshes, if either one of them are unable to speak, there's no chalitza. So how in our Mishnah here in the next parak, you don't have to go back that far, how can our Mishnah say that the ability to speak is not gonna disable the ability of chalitza? Good question. Amar Gidol Amar Rav Abia. So the first suggestion of the Gemara, a very simple suggestion, in that when you read our Mishnah and you talk about the Cheresh and the Chereshes, so you're right, leave Chalitza out of the discussion. You're right, they can't do Chalitza. But in terms of what our Mishnah is endorsing is Bia. In other words, you want to do the Mitzvah of Yibam, that's fine. The Mitzvah of Yibam can be done. Again, albeit it might be on a Derabban level, but okay, but still, you're going to have some version of Yibam. But in terms of Chalitza, you're right, you're absolutely right, they can't do Chalitza. That's how you read our Mishnah. That's how you understand our Mishnah. That's very simple. The Gemara now is going to leave the world of simple. Now the Gemara is going to enter into the world of complicated. And the Gemara is going to give another suggestion of what maybe our Mishnah means. Amrav, Gidol Amarav, sorry. Next line of the Gemara. Rav Amar Afilu Tema Achalitza. Rav is going to give the suggestion that maybe our Mishnah is allowing a Cheresh to do Chalitza. Kan Becheresh is Meikara Kan Bebikachas V'Achar Kach Nizcharasha. And maybe the distinction is as follows. If she enters into the marriage while she's a chereshes, so then chalitza can be done. If she enters into the marriage while being a pikacha, she was not a deaf mute entering into the marriage, and then illness befalls her, and she becomes a chereshes, so then she cannot do chalitza. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Chereshes meikara ki echad al. Hachi nafak, because when is she a chereshes originally? So the same way she's going to enter the marriage again. The way she's entering into the marriage is that it's only a marriage midrabban, it's not a marriage midraisa, so she can exit the same way as well. But if she's a bikachas and then she becomes a chereshes, now she no longer has the ability to speak. The marriage operates on a daraisa level. She's in the marriage on a daraisa level. When her husband dies, the zika is on a daraisa level, and so now, because she no longer has the ability to speak, so therefore that inability to speak is going to prevent her from leaving through chalitza. That is the difference between the previous parak and this parak. The previous parak was talking about where she becomes a cheresh post-marriage. Our Mishnah is talking about where she is a cheresh, and she was a cheresh throughout.
So the marriage was different. One was the government, one was the right.
Correct. Eitzvei abayi vecheresh is meikar abas chalitza v'atanan. So the Gemara now, for the rest of the daf today, from here until basically the end of today's daf, is going to challenge this position of Rabbah. Again, the simple pshat in our Mishnah is like Rav Ashi, which is that... Sorry, not Rav Ashi. The simple pshat in our Mishnah is like Rav. Rav says our Mishnah, when we're talking about the Chereshes, is only talking about Bia, it's not talking about Chalitza. That's a simple pshat. But now the Gemara is going to get into this more complicated pshat, which is, no, you could do Chalitza with a Chereshes, and that's speaking specifically about a woman who was a Chereshes at the beginning. From here going forward, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be quoting Mishnah after Mishnah. Mishnah, which we haven't actually seen yet, it's coming up in two Dapim from now, where the Mishnahs are going to be describing what seems to be a woman who's a cheresh.
If a woman is not going to become cheresh afterward, in a regular marriage, forget about ego, can she receive a get?
Right. That's a excellent question. The answer is no. The seventh parak of Gittin. Okay. Just put like a little footnote. Like a mental seventh parak of Gittin. We're going to be discussing many scenarios in which the marriage started as a daraisa, and then she got sick, she got ill, mentally ill, physically ill, and the parak over there is going to deal with the fact that she can't get a get at that point in time. Okay, well, when we get to the if I remember correctly, seventh parak.
Right.
So here we go now. First Mishnah. I have two brothers. One's a pikech and one's a cheresh. So here, this Mishnah, which we're going to see later on, is talking about where the brothers are, one being a pikech, the other being a cheresh. And they're married to two women. Now, cheresh just simply means they are not sisters. Achas pikachas v'achas chereshes, and one's a pikachas and the other's a chereshes. Okay, so in other words, matzah minas mino, right? The shotgun did his job correctly. The pikach married the pikachas, the cheresh married the chereshes. So meis cheresh ba'al chereshes. So now, in a scenario where the cheresh dies, so mayas the pikach ba'al pikachas, so what does the pikach do? Kones v'imratza lotzi yotzi. So he'll marry her, and if he wants to divorce her, then they'll divorce her. Meis pikach ba'al pikachas, but what if the pikach dies? So So what does the cheresh do? So kone, so if he wants to marry her, so he can marry her. Again, they're not, the wives are not sisters. The wives are not chrios. So he can marry her. Ve'ino motzi lo'olam, and he can't divorce her forever. Here you go, right here. The Mishnah spells it out. So he marries her, but with no ability to divorce her. Now, why does he not have an ability to divorce her? So when you think it through, it makes perfect sense. Because the brother that married... Well, that was married to this woman, was married on a Doraisa level. So when the brother dies, the Zika's operating on a Doraisa level. So when he marries her, even though he's a Cheresh, but nevertheless, the marriage operates on a Doraisa level. And now, because he's a Cheresh, he can't give her a get. He does not have the Das to give her a get. So he's married to her, and that marriage is going to be until death do they part. So my love, b'cheresh mi'ikara. Now the Gemara is speculating. Well, that Mishnah over there, isn't that Mishnah talking about where the Chereshes was originally, where she was an original, she was a Chereshes from the beginning, but Katani Kronis in Chalitz Lo. And meanwhile, the Mishnah over there only talks about marriage. The Mishnah doesn't talk about Chalitza. Why doesn't the Mishnah talk about Chalitza? Oh, because you can't do Chalitza. And again, in our speculation, what we're thinking right now is you can't do Chalitza Bichlal. Not if she becomes a Cheresh, and not if she was a Cheresh. You cannot do Chalitza. And that would smack against the suggestion of Rava. Rava says that if she was a Chalitza Mi'ikara, then you can do if she was a Chereshes Mi'ikara, then you can do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, let me just start myself off again. The Katani Kronitz in Choleth Lolo, Bepikachas, V'achachach Nezcharsha. So Gemara says, no, no, maybe the Mishnah is talking about where she started off as a Bikachas, and then after the marriage is now, now they're into the marriage, only then she becomes a Chereshes. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Tashma. All we're going to do now is just going to quote next line of that very same Mishnah. Again, this Mishnah is on Kuf Yud Beis. Shnei Achim Pichin Nisn Shnei Nachriyos Achas Bikachas Ve'eches Chereshes. Okay, case number two in this Mishnah. Two brothers, both have das, married to two women. One have das and one does not. Meis Bikach Ba'al Chereshes. Now, if the man dies, of the brother dies who's married to the Chereshes, Mayasa Pikech Ba Pikacha. So what does the man who's married to the Pikacha do? Very simple. Konis, he marries her. The Imratza Lohotzi Yotzi. But then if he wants to divorce her, he'll divorce her. Meis Pikacha Ba Pikacha, Mayasa Pikech Ba Chereshes. Now, if the brother who's married to the Pikachas dies, and now the brother married to the Chereshes, what he'll do? Oh, Choletz Amiyamim. So here he has an option. He could do Chalitza, he could do Yibam. The reason why he could do Chalitza is because the candidate, the Shomer Yavam, is a Pikacha. She could talk, and he could talk. So Chalitza is an option. So again, my love, and to have a Pikach Mikara, he nami Chereshes Mikara. So a Gemara makes a suggestion, and that is, look, he's a Pikach, and he was a Pikach from the very beginning. So therefore, isn't it even better to speculate that she was a Chereshes from the beginning as well? V'ketani konis en choleflo. And meanwhile, the Chereshes can't do Chalitza. So midir yahakadisa v'akadisa. So the Gemara says, nah. Gemara says, not necessarily. He was a Pikach from beginning to end, but maybe. Again, the Mishnah is not clear. We can speculate, and maybe the correct way to understand the Mishnah is that she was a Pikech from the beginning, and then she becomes a Cheresh. But if she was a Cheresh from the beginning, maybe Chalitz is an option. Eitzvei, the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Shnei Achim, Echa Pikech, Ve'echa Cheresh, Nesun, Shnei Achayos, Achas Pikachas, Ve'achas Chereshes. So here now in this third case of the Mishnah, so we're going to add one more variable to this whole discussion, and that is that they are sisters. And now that they're sisters, so now this becomes more complicated. Meis Cheresh Ba Chereshes, Mayas Pikech Ba Pikachas. So if the Cheresh dies, married to the Chereshes, leaving his the surviving brother to do the mitzvah of Yibam. The problem, of course, is that the surviving brother is married currently to her sister. So Teitzim Shema Chosisha. So there, okay, there's no Zika because it's an Erva. Meis Pikech Ba Pikachas, Mayas Cheresh Ba Chereshes. Now if the Pikech dies, now, what does the Cheresh do, the surviving Cheresh brother? So Motzias Ishto Beget, so here's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to divorce his wife. Ve'eshes Achiv Asur La'olam. And the brother and his sister-in-law, meaning the candidate for Yibam, is going to be forbidden to him forever. Okay, this is going to be the toughest spot to be in. Meaning he's going to have to divorce his wife. Why is he going to have to divorce his wife? Because he has a Zika Minat Torah to her sister. And so therefore his wife is a Chozik Kukaso. So he's going to have to divorce her. And furthermore, he can't be with his wife anymore. Why not? Because once he gives a divorce to his wife's sister, so what does his wife become? Achos Grusha, so the sister of his Grusha. V'chitema. Now, that's the Mishnah.
His marriage in the first place was a rabbinic marriage.
Ah, that's where we're going with this discussion. V'chitem achanami bikecha v'achar kach nischeresh. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where first he was a bikech and then he becomes a cheresh. Mimati mapik. So the Gemara says, if that's true, then he can't divorce her. V'atana nischarsha yotzi nishtate slo yotzi.
He doesn't need to divorce. If that's true, he doesn't. If initially she was confident, he doesn't need to divorce her.
No, it means that the marriage works, and not only does the marriage work,
right,
but he can't. He can't. He he can't divorce. And it's Charsha Yotzi, Nishtate Lo Yotzi. If she becomes a Chereish, so then he could divorce her. If she becomes insane, so then he can't divorce her. And it's Charesh Hu, O Nishtate Lo Yotzi Olamis. But if he no longer has Das, so then he can't divorce her. Elalav becheresh mikara. So he must have been a cheresh from the very beginning. Meaning just the idea that we're talking about get has to then work with the assumption that he was a cheresh from the beginning. And the Gemara then says, umidehu cheresh mikara hinami chereshes mikara. And then all we're going to do is just move along with the assumption. We know that he had to have been a cheresh from the beginning, so therefore let's assume that she was a cheresh from the beginning. And in case number three of the Mishnah, which is what we're learning right now, where we've said that the she was a cheresh from the beginning, so now we're going to just move backwards to case number one, and we're going to assume that that case also they were cheresh from the beginning. Utanan gabi nachrios konisin cholitz lo. And meanwhile, in case number one, chalitza was not an option. And do you know why chalitza is not an option? Because you can't do chalitza with cheresh, and it does not matter whether she becomes a cheresh, whether she was a cheresh. You cannot do chalitza with a cheresh. So ishtik. So the Gemara says to that he was quiet. So he also commented to Rav Yosef, Amalei, my tama tu svei meha, diachol ushnui lach. So Rav Yosef wasn't impressed by the question. He says, really, that's a kasha? Rav Yosef says, no, you could have just simply said, achayos charashos mikaru nachrios pikachos v'achar kach niskarsho. So the case of achayos, the case of sisters, is where they were chersh from the beginning, nachrios, and the first case of the Mishnah was where they were pikach v'achar kach niskarsho. So Rav Yosef says, look, midi irya, right, to just quote the Gemara earlier, hakadisa v'hakadisa are the two different cases. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, look, you want a power punch, you want to ask Akasha, I would ask Akasha from the next case in the Mishnah, which is, you have two brothers, both of them are cheresh, married to two sisters, both of them are pikachos, so shtei achayos, you can have any permutation you want with the wives. They're both pikachos, or one's cheresh, one's pikachos, one, they're both pikachos. Either way, the husbands are cheresh. Or let's say both of the wives are charashos. So l'shnei achim charashon, or l'shnei achin echad pikach v'echad cheresh. And once again, if both wives are charashos, it doesn't matter what the husbands are. Hare ela peturos min achalitza min ayibum. So therefore, there's going to be an exemption from the mitzvah of chalitza and yibum, because again, in any one of these scenarios, both marriages only operate on a derabban level, and so because both marriages operate on a derabban level, so you have your wife and you have your wife's sister coming to you with a zika. The zika gets dissolved because it's your wife's sister, and one marriage or one zika is not stronger than the other. So then, just a dissolving zika.
So there's no
issue.
Yvonne was shocked.
No, the zika is dissolved. Now, if they're not sisters, if they were just simply women but not sisters, so then he has an option of actualizing the mitzvah of yibum. Again, the mitzvah will only be on a derabban level, but okay. And if he wants to divorce, he may divorce. Now, here in this Mishnah, this is Rav Yosef's kasha. Look at this Mishnah. So this Mishnah is clearly talking about where they were pikeach and then they became a cheresh mimatzi. I'm sorry. If we were talking about where they were pikeach and then becomes a cheresh mimatzi mafki, you can't divorce her. Vatna nishtates lo yotzi nischarish hu o nishtate lo yotzi olamis. If he started off as a pikeach and then he becomes a cheresh, divorce is simply not an option. He does not have the das to sever a marriage that started off on a daraisa level. So they are cheresh meikara. Midehen cheresh meikara. Inonami cheresh meikara. If they were cheresh from the beginning, they also are cheresh from the beginning. V'ketanim hayu nachriyosi kontsu. And meanwhile, what does this Mishnah say? That if they were not sisters, then they could do the mitzvah of yibum. Notice the Mishnah says you could do the mitzvah of yibum. Notice what the Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah doesn't mention a word about chalitza. Why not? Yechaltu lo tiyufta deravat tiyufta, because you can't do chalitza. Because if you're a cheresh, and it does not matter whether you become a cheresh or you were originally a cheresh, if you're a cheresh, you're simply not a candidate for chalitza. You don't have the ability to speak. And so therefore, when all said and done, so now the suggestion of Rabbah, you know, our Mishnah says you're doing chalitza. You're doing chalitza with a cheresh? How can you do that? So Rabbah says, well, maybe our Mishnah is talking about where she was a cheresh from the beginning. To which now the Gemara says, after analyzing the Mishnah and Kuf Yud Beis, all four cases in the Mishnah, and you get to the fourth case in the Mishnah, Rav Yosef says, here there's no wiggle room. The Mishnah clearly is talking about a woman who is a Chareshis from the beginning, and the Mishnah says, Chalitza is simply not an option. And the reason why is because you have to have the ability to speak in order to do Chalitza, period.
So if the woman is a Chareshis, and there's no Chalitza, right? Is she married?
Her becoming a cherish is not going to affect the original marriage. Meaning, the marriage was on a daraisa level. She's still married on a daraisa level, even though right now, currently, she doesn't have das. But she entered into the marriage with das. The kinyan was done. Okay, let's just do a couple more lines, and we'll finish up. As long as we are on pace, let's keep on pace. Ketana v'chereishes, Amar Rav Nachman, Ashkechisa l'Ravacha Barav l'Ravchana Chasne Diasve v'ka mekavu akvasa b'shuka de Pumbadisa. They were gathering students in the marketplace of Pumbadisa. V'Armi Hadidnan Ketana v'chereishes in biasachas mehem poteret sarasa. The bia with one is not going to exempt the other. Again, a man is married to two women. One's a ketana, the other chereishes. And what do we say? That if this man dies and he has a surviving brother, so the surviving brother, him doing yibum with one is not going to exempt the other. Why not? The reason why is because we don't know which wife his brother quote unquote preferred. Now what we mean by that is as follows. Did he like the ketana or do you like the chereshes? And you can make arguments for both. Because the ketana right now, she's a ketana, but she's got upside, she's got potential. But on the other hand, the chereshes right now doesn't have das, but still is an adult, is a wife, and she's a basbiah. But if the brother who died was a cheresh, but if the husband who died was a cheresh, so then clearly he favors the chereshes. Number one, she's an adult. Number two, matzah minas mino. It was a more compatible union. So the Amina Luana, now I said afilo nafale me'achiv cheresh nami misafkale. So, and I say, no, I don't agree. I think that even if the brother who did not survive, the brother who died was a cheresh, I still think you can entertain the question of which did he prefer more, and therefore I would still maintain that the yibum done to one is not going to dissolve the zika with the other. Okay, we are very, very good. I really thank Stu for getting us back up to speed. Okay, today's daf Kuf Yud. A basic machlokas we start off with today. How does a marriage with a katana get upgraded to a marriage min haTorah? Rav says through bia. Shmuel disagrees. Rav's position we saw elsewhere as well. The Gemara says stricha, they need both. And then the Mishnah we discussed today is what happens if a man is married to two wives, one being a pikach and one being a chereshes, how does his death and how is the mitzvah yibum performed and going to be satisfied? And we went through a number of opinions over there. And we'll start with tomorrow. What happens if one is a chereshes and the other ketana? What do you do? Which marriage does he prefer? The Gemara says, we don't know. That's the problem. What's the takana? What do you do? That's where we're going to start tomorrow.